expected to have not one, but all of them. So the fruit is one. They are not many. To underscore the fact that it is a requirement that every child of God must possess this fruit. The complete possession of the fruit will make us the children of God that we ought to be, the sons and daughters of God that we ought to be. And so we looked at love last Wednesday. Today, we are considering joy. And the passage we've read, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 particularly, is the thesis, is the fulcrum of our discourse tonight. So we are looking at the subject, joy. And let's go on quickly to look at the definition of joy. I hope this thing is working. All right. Joy. So what is joy? Joy is the inner feeling of excitement and strength. That's my own definition, and I like this definition. And I want us to consider some of the key words in that definition of joy. The inner feeling, which means it is not just a facial or physical expression. Joy has to do with inner feeling. An inner feeling of what? Of excitement and strength. When there is a kind of feeling that is internal in someone that will prompt the person to be excited, that will give the person strength in spite of whatever, that's an indication that there is joy in the heart of such person. You will recall, for those of us, some of us were here when I did this teaching. Can someone help me take care of the children, please? You will recall I told us a story here in one of my presentations of a woman who went for a crusade in our denomination prior to the problem of COVID-19. Every quarter of the year, we go out for what we call soul-winning band crusade. And all of the Baptist churches throughout Delta, we send delegates. Cities will be choosing on a quarterly basis where the crusade will be held. So during one of those crusades, this woman left home. Usually the crusade will last from Friday to Sunday. We go on Friday to return on Sunday. So this woman from Okpara inland, Brother Robinson's village, Abbey City, sorry, not village, Brother Robinson's city. He went for the crusade. She went with others to the crusade, stayed there Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday was to return. On Saturday night, robbers broke into her home and they carted away virtually every valuable that you can think of. Broke the door open. And so those who were staying within the area, they were so disturbed, wailing and crying. Then there was no GSM to make calls. But they knew that on Sunday afternoon, this woman would be returning from the crusade. And so that fateful afternoon, those who were friends and well-wishers, family members, had to come to the compound to wait for the arrival of this woman. With the fear that when she comes, she will be wailing and she might even injure herself as a result of the trauma of what has befallen her. And so when the woman arrived and she saw the crowd, she was wondering, what's the problem? She said, "Not be smart, you know. Thieves broke into your house. They carted away all your valuables." So the woman went inside, looked around, truly saw that everything that is valuable were taken away. She came outside and she was smiling. And she told the people, thank God, there was something they couldn't take. So the people were wondering, maybe she hid money somewhere in the house that the robbers didn't see, or maybe jewelry or whatever. A very valuable thing to her that the robbers did not see. So they were wondering, they came to her and said, what is it? What is it? And she smiled and she told them, even though they took away my valuables, the Jesus I have in me, they could not take him away. That sounds stupid. Could Jesus have been taken away from her in the first place? But the woman was making sense. She was demonstrating what we mean by joy. Because joy is not dependent on the circumstances that is surrounding us immediately. This is the fulcrum of the study of tonight. Joy in the context of the believer has nothing to do with your present situation or predicament. Even no matter how tough, how tense, how difficult the situation may be. My mentor and my oga used to share this. He would say, your joy is not dependent on the enjoyment you are having now as a child of God. Come to think of it, a woman got married, stayed in the marriage for 1, 2, 3, 4 years. She will be sad when the child has not come, especially in the African context. A lot of insinuations will be going on here and there. A lot of things will be said, whether from in-law or from her family or elsewhere. And then this woman will be sad and sorrowful for a long time. And when eventually she becomes pregnant, hey, there's euphoria, excitement in the air, looking forward to the day she will put to bed. And when eventually she puts to bed, what happened? Celebration galore. Let's eat and make merry. God has answered our prayer. And Reverend Igbo will now say, what of if after 1, 2, 3 years the child now dies? What happened to the celebration and the joy they had initially? It will disappear. See, this woman, no. This is unbelievable. It's unusual. This woman was waiting for a long time. This child eventually came and the child had to die. And then look at the trauma that woman will find herself. No, the joy has already disappeared. And Reverend Oyibo will say, what happened when she eventually became pregnant was not joy. It was happiness. And he will say, there is difference between happiness and joy. And I believe it. And that's my position in this presentation. Joy has to do with the inner feeling, a conviction that nothing can take away from you. A fulfillment in your heart that no circumstance, no situation can remove. Those of us who are following us with our daily encounter, if you read what the passage we read this morning, that popular passage by Paul, Romans chapter 8. Paul outlined all of those things. Is it life? Is it death? Is it tribulation? Is it hunger? Is it pain? What is it that can separate us from the love of God? When he finished enumerating, he came to a conclusion. He said, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Because I am convinced beyond reasonable doubt, like the legal people will say, beyond reasonable doubt, that there is nothing on earth that can separate us from the love of God. That's the joy. And it is that same Paul that we read about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, which is the main thesis, the text that we are building upon tonight. Paul says, rejoice always. again I say, rejoice. Ladies and gentlemen, while Paul was writing this passage, he was in prison. Not because he stole. Not because he took someone's wife. Not because he committed any atrocity for preaching the gospel. Some of us will call thunder from heaven at that instance. God, you know that it was your work I was doing. These people arrested me for no just cause. If you are God in this matter, I will know. Hey, let God arise. Let the enemies be scattered. Let fire and brimstone fall from heaven. Consume these enemies of the gospel. Paul was relaxed in the midst of his innocence and the pain he was going through as a prisoner. Paul will write and say, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. When things are going well, it is easy to remember God. But when we are going through difficult moments, can we really find joy in this God? He was not just locked, according to scholars. Paul was put in chains. It was with chains, the two hands chained together, and yet he was still using his finger to scribble out these letters we are reading today. Read Philippians from the beginning to the end. You will never see anywhere Paul expressed an outburst of pain. Say, God, you see what I'm going through because I preach your God. He wouldn't. He would rather say, count it all joy, brethren, when you suffer diverse persecution. He would say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. There is a crown waiting for me. You can see evidence of real excitement in him. That nothing was pushing him here and there. He was so convinced of the fact that there is something in him that the enemies can never take away. Ladies and gentlemen, have you gotten this joy? Is this joy in your heart? The joy has nothing to do with our convenience. It has nothing to do with our being at peace. It has nothing to do with whether the situation is conducive or not conducive. It has nothing to do with whether we are at peace with ourselves or not. In spite of any circumstance, Paul is saying there should be evidence of inner joy. Those things that should push the unbelievers to doubt and say, no, I can't take this, should rather give us joy. That is the joy that a believer should have. Until you have this joy, your Christian circle is not yet complete. My Christian circle is not yet complete. Just like love, God desires this joy to be in our hearts. Even though Job, in going through his persecution, complained indeed, but he got to a stage, he said to himself, Job 14:14, if a man die, will he live again? All the days of my expectation, I will wait until my change come. In another text there, he will say, even if God slays me, still I will trust him. If God kills me, I will still trust him. Joy in the midst of turbulence. During the service of song for our mommy, one of our mothers in town, Dickness Irue, I was asked to preach in that service of song, and I shared this story of a woman who was traveling abroad. I'll rush through just now and give you room to make contribution and ask questions. This woman was traveling abroad. In those days, there were no aeroplane. It has to be by ship or by ferry. She was traveling abroad. And in the course of the journey, there was a real turbulence on the high sea that both the unbelievers and the believers in the boat, they were all crying to their God. Just as it was, like it was in the days of Jonah. The Christians were praying. The non-Christians were calling on their God to save them. Because it was really tough. The tempest was really, really tough. And this woman was sitting where she was, unruffled, quiet, calm, calculated, cool. And so, out of curiosity, one of those who were so agitated by the wave came to her and said, "Madam, everybody they pray. People are calling on their, you just sit down and keep quiet. Why are you not praying? Why are you not calling on your God?" The woman smiled and she said, "Young man, I will tell you my story. In life, I had two children. One is living abroad where I'm going to. The other one had died since and has gone to be with Jesus. See, so my plan is to go and visit the one that is abroad. But if peradventure this boat capsizes and we all die here, I will go and meet the one that has gone to heaven. Nothing lost, nothing spoiled. So I have nothing to lose. It is either I meet the one that is abroad or I go and meet the one that is with Jesus." It looks stupid. It sounds foolish. But she had a conviction that there is nothing she is going to lose in the course of this journey. Uroboma say, "Obedjobo, Kodjobo. If not be one, it will be one." And that's what the conclusion of that woman. Ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of turbulence, in the midst of crisis, do you have this Christ-like joy? This God-given joy, is it in your life? Is it in your hearts? That's the crux of our study tonight. What brings this inner feeling or excitement? Could be real or expected. Yes, it could be something that is happening right now or something you are anticipating that is going to happen. What is that example? For instance, I know if I die today, I'm going to be with Jesus. So nothing moves me about it. One of the reasons I don't fear death is that conviction in me. We're traveling to our convention in Abeokuta. The Lord revealed it to me a day before that we're going to have an accident on the way. I saw it very clearly and I still travel. Just before we cross between Ogara and Benin City, lo and behold, the vehicle we're traveling in, the tire got busted. Boom! And the bus somersaulted 3 times into the bush. There was another car that was coming in front. When he saw how the vehicle was just turning and turning and turning, he flew into the bush as well. The driver of that Mercedes-Benz died on the spot. We were 18 inside the bus. About 4 persons sustained injury. And so when the bus somersaulted 3 times and he finally landed, we came out. And lo and behold, there was fuel scarcity. We carried 4 jerrycans of fuel inside the boot of the bus. So the things exploded and I was spread and drenched several of the persons that were inside the bus. We came out. I carried my box. All of them say, "Oh, we are going back, no more convention." I said, "I lie. I must be in Abeokuta." I had some scratches on my hand here. I carried those scratches and traveled to Abeokuta for that convention. I stayed 7 days before returning. Because I have made up my mind about that. It doesn't frighten me. It will come when it will come. After all, there is no one who will not test it unless Jesus comes earlier and meet us here. So that joy that comes from the Lord should always be in our hearts. And we should have that anticipatory conviction that even if anything happens, we have a home we are walking towards. That should give us that inner joy. After all, scripture says, if all that we toil and struggle with will end in this earth, he said we are of all men most miserable. Because we have denied ourselves of several privileges. What people call enjoyment. We forsake them. Because we have a home. We have a target. Things they will do to others and they will go to places. They will do them to us and we say, no, for Christ's sake, I forbear it. So this joy has to be in your heart. And this joy should be so strong in us that nothing can take it away. Let me run. Joy is so much more than happiness. I've said that because it is both God's gift as well as an attitude every believer should cultivate in order to be what God wants them to be. To do what he wants them to do and have what he wants them to have. Only a believer can have a true joy because it is a manifestation of the Spirit, Holy Spirit's work in the believer. Joy comes not as a result of the circumstances surrounding us, but as a fruit from the Holy Spirit. And don't forget this, that this fruit we are talking about, they are given by the Holy Spirit. Yes, the world have what they call love, but that is not the kind of love we are talking about. The world has what they call joy. That is not the kind of joy we are talking about. We are talking about the joy that comes from who? Somebody help me. From who? From God. Only God can give that joy. Not as a result of circumstances that are surrounding us. For unbelievers, joy depends upon the external things that happen around them. They exhibit joy when things around them permit it, but exhibit sadness when their environment permits sin. When success comes, promotion comes, oh, there is joy. There is child, oh, there is joy. There is material blessing, oh, there is joy. Someone has just bought a car, wonderful. A house has been dedicated, gracious. The Lord has been so good and faithful. Yes, all of these are good, but our joy should not be dependent on these material things. That's what we're saying. This is why I believe that what the unbeliever calls joy is mere happiness, which is only temporary. Take note that joy is eternal. Happiness is temporary. On the contrary, for the believer, joy is an inner thing. It does not depend on external condition. A believer's joy depends on the fundamental fact of the sovereignty of God, believing that God is in control of every situation. That's why they will be stoning Stephen to death, and Stephen will pray, God, do not hold this guilt against them. That was why Paul became an apostle. If Stephen has said, God, let the blood of these people be upon their head as he was dying, he will have missed it. Paul will have missed it because he was the one who gave command for the killing of Stephen. But Stephen prayed while he was dying because he saw beyond the death he was dying and knew that God was in charge. He knew where he was going. So he did not allow the circumstances of the pain he was going through to becloud his sense of judgment. To cultivate this joyful attitude, four things I will mention and then I'll be through and give you room. How do we get this joyful attitude? How can we imbibe the tenets of this joy that Chaplin is talking about tonight? Number one, for this joy to become prominent, inherent in you, to become pronounced and be seen evidently in you. Number one, have fellowship with God. We have one song we used to sing. Make friend with God, make friend. 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 If you make friend with God, though, heaven go be your own. If you not make friend with God, though, hell go be your own. Make friend with God. Make friend. Joy is a natural outcome of fellowship with God. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 16 verse 11. So joy that we are talking about today is something that comes out of God for us, to us as his children. It is something that wells out of God for us as believers. It is only when we have fellowship with this God that the grace to have this joy that we are talking about will become evident in our lives. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. I have emphasized that, which blossoms out of every life that is born again and spirit-filled. We can feel joy each time we fellowship with other believers in the presence of God. As we are fellowshipping now, the joy of the Lord can begin to show up in our lives. But not only that, even in our private interaction, private quiet time with God, this joy can also be cultivated. To experience this joy, we also need to cultivate the habit of spending time alone with God, meditating on his word and praying. This must be a daily exercise that will keep us connected to the living God, who is the source of joy. I don't know how many of us still have time to have our quiet time on a daily basis. A time where we meet with God one-on-one. I'm not talking about family devotion now. A time of personal study of the word. A time to reflect. A time to pray on your own. These are the things that will cook up this joy in our hearts. I recommend it strongly to us if we've not been doing that. Number two, how do we cultivate this joy? Number two way to cultivate this joy is by obedience to God's instruction. True joy is found in obedience to the teaching of Christ. Obedience to God produces joy in the heart of the believer. What excitement you feel, or what kind of fulfillment comes to your mind when you discover that you have just taken a step to obey the instruction and the leading of God? It gives you a sense of joy and fulfillment. People are celebrating. They are taking one bottle of beer. I say they were giving the bottles of beer to people. Say, okay, let's give one to Solo. Solo say, no, don't bother yourself. Solo will not drink that one. And then someone will wonder, why will he not drink? Say, he's a Christian. So, okay, no wonder. Once that takes place, you have just sent a message just now. And that message will prompt joy in your heart. That's what we're saying. Number three, when you want to cultivate this habit of joy, you should build it on the tenets of hope that you have. And you remember the story of that woman I told us a while ago? That woman was so convinced with beyond reasonable doubt that anything happened now in this boat, nothing spoiled. She was so convinced, number one, that the other child who is no longer alive is with God. She was so convinced. And then she was also convinced of herself that if anything happens to her today, she's not going to hell. She's going to heaven. And so that hope brought the joy that didn't allow her to be ruffled by the tempest, by the wave, by the storm. As I will say in my conclusion, storms are inevitable in life. It doesn't matter how close you may be to God. Storms are inevitable. They must come. If they can come to Job, whom God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? He is righteous before me." For God to stand and defend Job on his behalf and say, I repose confidence in this man called Job. I trust him. He fears me. He is righteous. What a CV. God was vouching for him, standing in his stead to defend him before Satan. Yet, storm came. When we read some of these things, they just look like fairy tale. Do you know what it means, Prof, for someone to lose 7 children in one day? No wish past that one. Emi gure, gure, dok evolvo. 7 children, no. It's either the father is a witch or the mother is a witch. Their hand no clean. How 7 children go die in one day? One, they even die, then they call the person witch. Not to talk of 7, one day. Then all of a sudden, all the wealth disappeared. They say fire came from heaven. I don't know the kind of fire it was. Came from, I just consume everything just like that. And you say they don't go catch wind. When we read some of these things, we just think, it's normal. He told us here, a member of our church at home, the child died. And after service, the church said, let's pay condolence. 3 minutes more and I'm done. Say, let's pay condolence. So we're going to visit the woman that afternoon. The moment he saw the church people coming, she started crying. You know what she was saying? Say, God do me, oh. God do me, oh. As if God was the one who killed the child. That's human. That's me and you. That's the tendency we have. Where was God before this one day? Upon all the one that the good church reached. Some of us will begin to accuse ourselves. I've been at the scene when I commit nice cause. God not fit answer my prayer again. No. In spite of whatever situation that may befall us, that joy must be in us. It is one of the fruits. Or part of the fruit. And I'm talking about hope. Hope is a virtue that lifts the eyes of the believer above and ahead of into the future. When hope is in operation, you will experience joy despite the challenges of life. Number 4, have faith. Faith sees God's ability and does what is impossible. A believer therefore will rejoice when he or she is able to have faith in God, knowing that God can handle every situation. Anyone who has faith in God has no reason to be sad, because he or she has a permanent link with the living God, who is the source of joy. Let me conclude. Joy in times of certainty and uncertainty. The Lord Jesus did not promise us, his disciples, a problem-free world. No! Christianity is never a bed of roses. Rather, he assures us of his comforting presence in this world because of the troubles we may likely face. Endeavor to see beyond the present turmoil, trials, and tribulation. 3 T's. The hour of pain will soon be over. Apostle Paul lived a life of joy in the face of challenges, persecution, tribulations. He made it this clear through his letters to some of the early churches he wrote to. Colossians chapter 1 verse 24. He said, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. Suffering was not a problem. After all, when Jesus was commissioning him, he told him, I will show you how much you must suffer. That was part of his job description. How much you will suffer. So when those sufferings were coming, Paul was not perturbed. Philippians 2:17. But even if I am being poured out like a drink, offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. When Paul will be singing in the front of those armies that kept him in prison, they will be wondering, what kind of mad person is this? Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity has to reach the level of madness where people will call you mad. Because what will make them angry will not make you angry. What will make them excited will not make you excited. That's the level of Christianity. I told us some time ago, someone put a sticker on his car. I don't forget it. He wrote the sticker. The inscription on the sticker is, I am a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? It's a deep thought. I am a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? So what will give the world joy will not give you joy, quote and unquote, because their kind of joy is temporary happiness, which we are saying that is not the true joy that comes as part of the fruit of the Spirit. Finally, Romans chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. I pray tonight that the Lord will grant us grace to key into this joy of the Lord. And this joy will become part of our existence. That nothing the enemy will do that will be able to make us become jittery and deny our faith. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Moderator, over to you.
Joy of the Lord is my strength, the joy of